If you're a dentist and you've made it through dental school, should you become a practice owner? Absolutely, you should. You have so much more respect, so much more autonomy. You get to control your schedule. You don't have to do what some office manager at Aspen Dental or Heartland Dental or Pacific is telling you to do. You get to be in control. You get so much more respect from the patients, from the staff, and you make a lot more money. If you buy the right practice and do things correctly, you can make a lot more as a practice owner than working as an associate. But that doesn't mean it doesn't come with its own challenges, especially during the first year. There's definitely a transition period. That's what I want to talk about today. So what actually happens during your first year as an owner? What does it feel like? What kind of challenges should you be prepared for? Today, I want to share the top things that I wish I knew when I first took over my practice. My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I've been a practice owner myself, and I now help dentists make the transition from associate to owner. So let's just get this straight. The first 3 to 6 months of practice ownership are going to be extremely stressful. Now, that's not to say associate jobs can't be stressful, because associate jobs can be very stressful, especially if you're at a job that's not very good. If you have a boss that is not a good boss, if the hours you have to work don't align with the way that you like to work, it can be really stressful at an associate job. But the first 3 to 6 months of ownership are something different. All of a sudden, you are going from being someone who's told what to do to being the person that needs to make the decisions. And there are a lot of decisions that you're going to have to make. I mean, probably more than 100 decisions every day, especially during the first few months when you're first taking over and you're changing things, you're setting up systems, you're just figuring out how the offices run. There's going to be so many decisions and so many things you have to think about. And ultimately, it comes down to what you want to do and how you want to do things, which is awesome that you have that control. But it's a double-edged sword, because with that control comes the fact that you have to make choices in order to decide what you're going to do. So right off the bat, do not try to work 5 days a week when you first become an owner. Honestly, I probably would never work 5 days a week clinically as a dentist. It's just not worth it. However, you are going to need to have at least that extra day each week to work on your clinical systems and getting your business set up. If you're only seeing patients, you're never going to have time to actually set up your systems. Ultimately, your goal within the first few months of ownership is to set systems up that are going to allow the business to run largely without you having to be the main decision maker for all the small decisions. This is totally possible to do. You just have to set them up. If you buy a large, successful office, maybe a lot of these systems will already be set up, which is ideal. But even then, you're still going to have a transition period where you're adapting to those systems and you're making some tweaks to them in order to tailor the way that you want the office to run. However, sometimes you buy an office where really none of these systems are set up, or maybe you've lost some key staff members that were important in those systems, and now you have to replace those people. And so it's going to be a lot of work. Plan on blocking off at least 1 day per week for admin time. Next point is, don't make big changes starting out unless you absolutely have to. One of the biggest mistakes I made when I first took over the practice is I switched practice management systems day one, which was really, really honestly a bad idea, because all of the staff didn't know how to use it. And so not only was it a new office for me and I was meeting patients for the first time, I now had staff that didn't understand how to use the software and they were trying to ask me questions. It was super stressful. Try to keep everything the same for at least the first 6 months. If you make too many big changes, you're going to be overwhelmed and it's not going to be worth it. Now, if you buy a smaller practice that, you know, was not successful and you're trying to build it up, one of these like partial startup, partial acquisitions, then yeah, you're probably going to have to make a lot of changes. But if you buy the right practice, which that's what I try to help my clients do, is buy the right practice, which is going to make this transition as easy as possible. If you buy the right practice that's already successful, hopefully you can just step in and continue doing things exactly as they were being done for at least the first 5 to 6 months while you at least see that first group of hygiene patients. On average, you're going to have your hygiene patients every 6 months. So as long as you make it through the first 6 months, you've met most of the patients, you're understanding how the systems work, then you can start making some more strategic changes. The reality is, when you first start, you won't exactly know why the dentist before you had set things up the way that he or she set them up. You come in and you say, well, that was silly. Why did the dentist do it that way? However, maybe a few months in, you start to realize, okay, there's a reason that they're doing it this way. And I wouldn't have known that unless I was working here for a few months. So just stick it out. Try to not make too many big changes starting out. Next, I want to talk about staff. you are going to have some team member turnover. It's just the reality of when you take over a business. Even if you aren't taking over a business, within a year's worth of time, you're probably going to have some turnover. But especially during this stressful time where you're taking over the office, you're making changes, try not to make too many changes, but the reality is you are going to make changes, and just you being there is a change. Some staff are going to leave. You also, maybe you're growing the practice and you're going to need to hire new staff. You are now the one in charge of letting staff go and finding new staff, something that you've probably never done before. Maybe you've run another business before buying a dental practice, but most dentists, this is their first time ever running a business, their first time ever having to hire someone, fire someone. It's a learning curve. And so just be prepared for that it's going to be stressful. It's going to be difficult, and you're not exactly going to know how to do it starting out. And it's going to take time to learn and get used to things. Hiring is kind of difficult in today's market. 5 years ago, coming right out of COVID, it was really, really difficult. Now it's getting a little bit easier. I think going into the future, it's going to become easier and easier because there seems to be fewer and fewer jobs. So more and more, the market is going to favor employers over employees. In other words, we're entering into more of an employer's market, which is good if you're an employer. It's bad if you're an employee. You're getting to the point where you're going to have more choice and more control. But where we are right now, as of making this video, it's still difficult to find some key members of the staff. And the two most difficult positions to fill by far, hygienist and someone for the front who really understands dental insurance. Hygienists are the most important person to have in the office in so many different ways. If there are hygienists at the office that you're purchasing, you need to do everything you can to have them stay on. The way that you as a dentist have treatment on your schedule is by seeing hygiene patients and doing hygiene checks. And if you don't have hygienists, you're not going to have patients. And if you don't have patients, you're not going to have treatment. And if you don't have treatment, you are not going to make money. I have some dentists ask me, well, what if I buy a practice that doesn't have a hygienist and I just do my own hygiene? No, you're a dentist. Do not do hygiene. Never do hygiene. Just don't even consider doing hygiene. It makes absolutely no sense for you as a dentist to do hygiene. If you're doing hygiene, you're going to be producing something like $200 an hour. When you are doing dentistry, you can produce $3,000 an hour. Why are you going to waste your time doing hygiene? Yes, you might occasionally have to fill in and do a little bit of a cleaning. Hopefully you can have your assistant do most of that work. Depending on states, some assistants can do basic pro fees and stuff and you do the scaling. Sure, but I'd stay away from that. Just get a practice with hygienists. The number one thing that I'm looking at when I'm looking at a practice is how many active patients there are. The second thing is, which is related to the number of active patients, is how many hygienists there are and how stable those hygienists are at the office. Because the reason it's related is because in order to have active patients, active recall patients, they need to be seeing a hygienist. And so if you can find a practice with three hygienists that are, their schedules are booked, that's an incredible practice to purchase. If you're looking at a practice that doesn't have any hygienists, just stop looking at it and go look at another practice, because it's not worth buying a practice that doesn't have hygienists. It can also be difficult to find new hygienists if you have to, because hygiene is pretty in demand. Some parts of the country, there are more hygienists available than others. Where I personally live, there is just a real shortage of hygienists. I've been working with one of the local schools in my area to actually try to get them to create a new hygiene program, because there's just such a shortage of hygienists and we really need hygienists. But, you know, you'll find them. You'll eventually find a hygienist. Hopefully, if you buy a practice, you can buy one there that there's already a hygienist there. But yeah, hygiene is important. The other thing that is really difficult to find, front desk people that understand insurance. You can find people to sit at the front desk and smile and be nice and schedule and answer phones, etc. But that's not that hard. There's quite a few people out there with those kind of skill sets, but actually understanding how to properly manage the insurance is really actually pretty difficult. Insurance is very complicated, and if you mess it up, it can really, really be stressful for patients and really, really stressful for you. You can end up not collecting money that you should have collected for the work that you've done. You can end up misquoting patients. I had an issue where I had a front desk person who didn't understand how to properly do prior authorizations. And she was telling patients that they could do a certain number of crowns. And when they did those crowns, they then got a letter in the mail from their insurance company saying, hey, sorry, you had a waiting period and you weren't eligible yet to have those crowns done. And so the insurance company wasn't going to cover the crowns. My front desk person told them that their insurance was going to cover it, and then their insurance didn't cover it. And so that put me in a really, really difficult situation where I had to decide, am I still going to try to bill patients even though they were doing that treatment, assuming that insurance was going to cover it? Or do I just write off that amount? Now, personally, in that situation, I didn't write it off. I billed them. Some patients were upset. Was that the right thing to do? I don't know. That's how I handled it. Once again, that's the type of decision you're going to have to make in your first year of ownership. In the past, when you were at an associate job, you didn't have to make those kind of decisions. The front desk made those decisions. It wasn't your responsibility. But as an owner, things are going to go wrong. That went really wrong at my office. I had about 10, 15 patients who we did crowns on that we were trying to collect the money from their insurance. And the insurance said, you cannot collect on these patients yet because of these waiting periods. My front desk person didn't understand that. I didn't understand it. You as a dentist are trained to see patients, to do clinical stuff. You probably don't have as much experience with dental insurance as would be ideal. That's just the fact. You're going to learn more and more as you go. But there's so many things you don't know. So if you can have someone in that position who understands it, that is so incredibly useful. Now, what if you can't find someone to manage your insurance? I was working with a client who recently bought a practice who was in that situation. The office manager left right when he took over, which happened to me as well. When I took over the practice, the office manager left, and it wasn't because I did anything wrong. The first day that I showed up, she said, "Hi, Dr. Marshall. Nice to meet you. I've already accepted a job somewhere else." And I said, "Well, why?" And she said, "Well, I've just been wanting to work with this other guy for a long time, and I figured now was the right time." I had no control over that. Before she even met me, she had already accepted the other job. So I had to scramble to find someone to fill that position, which is why I ended up hiring someone that wasn't that great and didn't understand how to do the insurance predeterminations properly. And that's why I had that issue with the waiting periods. But I was recently working with a client. He bought a practice and he purchased the accounts receivable, which is oftentimes a good idea. It's 50-50 on my end if you buy the seller's accounts receivable. Accounts receivable is basically any money that's owed to you by either the insurance company or by patients. And if you take over the seller's office, you have the option to either purchase the accounts receivable, which means on the day of closing, any money that was owed to the seller is now owed to you instead, and now it's your responsibility to go and collect that money. Or you can just not purchase it and let the seller take care of that, and you just start fresh. You zero everything out, and you have brand new, fresh accounts. Both options are valid. You just have to decide what you want to do. This buyer, though, he purchased the accounts receivable, and he called me a few weeks after and said, "Chris, this is just incredibly stressful. I purchased accounts receivable, but I don't know how to collect it. I don't understand how to get the insurance companies to pay me this money. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't even know how to submit claims. My front desk person left. I don't have anyone to fill that position. And now I'm not bringing in the kind of money that I thought I was going to. It's a disaster. It's a mess. The world is going to end. This is terrible." Those are the kind of things he was saying, which I understand. That's stressful. He didn't understand. He didn't know what he didn't know. And he was just busy. Like, there's so many things you have to do when you take over an office. You don't have time to learn everything about insurance claims and everything in your first few weeks of ownership, but you need to be collecting that money. You need to collect that money or else you're not going to have money to pay your staff. You're not going to have money to pay the electricity bill, your rent. Obviously, you want to have money coming in. So what do you do in that situation? There are companies that you can hire where you can outsource the insurance collections. This is probably what you should do if you are in a situation where you're not sure what to do and you don't have someone up front who's doing a good job. They will actually send you a laptop to your office. You'll install your practice management system on that laptop. They will remotely log into the laptop and they will take care of all your insurance stuff for you. Then they will get on the phone with you. They'll explain to you what they did. They'll give you tips on how to improve your insurance. There's a bunch of different companies that can do this. If you are interested in some recommendations, you can find my email down in the description. I'm happy to try to connect you with some people. But this is something you probably should do if your front desk person is not able to handle insurance. They're going to charge you a fee for that. Usually it's like a few percent. It's not terrible. Might be like 3-4%, maybe 5%. It just depends. Usually it's like the more they collect, the lower the percentage goes. And you might be thinking, I don't want to pay a percentage for someone to collect my insurance. But if you hire a front desk person to do that, or if you have to hire an additional front desk person, you're probably going to be paying them more than that percentage. So oftentimes you can actually save money by outsourcing your insurance, and then you can hire someone up front who is less skilled and maybe doesn't have the exact knowledge on how insurance works. Maybe they can start to slowly learn over time, and maybe later on, you can then cancel your subscription to the insurance service and have everything done in-house. However, my general recommendation is, especially when you first start out during the first few months of ownership, anything that you can outsource, you should outsource. You need to try to take as much work off your plate as possible because you are going to have so much to do and you want to be able to focus on those high value tasks and try to outsource as many of the lower value tasks. And the high value tasks are, number one, seeing patients and treatment planning a lot and doing a lot of treatment and production. Number one, that's how you make money. Number two is setting up systems to reduce the amount of work that you're going to have to do in the future. Once your systems are set up, you're not going to really have to spend much time on those systems anymore. And then you're going to be at a point where your job is just to come in and see patients. That's what you were trained to do as a dentist. That's what you should be doing. And this is why people who say, well, I just want to be an associate so that I can just see patients and not have to worry about the business stuff. I understand that motivation because you want to focus on those high value tasks. But the thing is, as an owner, you can also get to the point that you're only seeing patients and that everything else is managed by someone else. It's very possible if you set up the systems, you can do that as an owner. You don't have to be as an associate to do that. You just have to have an office manager in place that is able to manage the front office. You need to have an assistant in place that is able to manage your supplies and your inventory. You need to have a hygienist in place that is able to take care of the scheduling for hygiene. There's lots of different ways you can do it. You might have a full-time schedule person. You might have a full-time insurance person. You might outsource insurance like we just talked about. I think going into the future, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to use technology to automate a lot of things. Potentially, there's going to be tools where instead of paying an employee or outsourcing insurance, instead, you could automate the insurance with some software tools. There already are quite a few out there that are getting pretty good. I think we're getting close. That type of technology is only going to increase. But I would say your job as an owner is to learn as much as you can about those types of technologies and figure out how you can reduce your costs long term and continue to grow the amount of production that you personally are able to do while minimizing the amount of work that you personally have to do. Next thing I want to talk about is money. As an owner, you are going to be dealing with money in a way that you never have before. You're going to be making so much more money than you're used to that you're going to have to figure out what to do with that money. It gets to a point where you stop thinking about like $20, $30 things as being expensive and you're now thinking in terms of like $3,000 to $4,000 decisions. On almost a daily basis, you are going to be making decisions that whatever you decide is going to either make you or cost you thousands of dollars on a daily basis. Things as simple as like which supplies you buy. You could save like thousands of dollars by buying supplies from a different company. You can save $20,000 by hiring one employee that is willing to work for $20 an hour versus another employee that's going to be $35 an hour. You're going to have equipment reps coming into the office trying to sell you new things that cost $10, $15, $20,000 to replace all these hand pieces, all these chairs, et cetera. You got to decide, is it worth $30,000 to get new chairs in these operatories, or can I just use the ones that I have for a few more years? This is going to be a case-by-case basis. There's nothing wrong with spending some money in order to make money. If you're spending money on a really good hygienist, absolutely, that's worth it. You want to spend money on having a good hygienist because you're going to make so much more money by having those patients at the office because that hygienist is there. But is the gauze that you get from Henry Schein, even though it costs 10 times more than the same exact gauze you can buy online at Net32, really worth it? I don't know. To me, it wasn't. To me, I bought most of my stuff on Net32. Just going to be honest, I had a supply guy that was like really wanted to be involved in the office. Obviously, he wanted my money. He kept coming and he kept seeing boxes that said Net32 and he stopped showing up. So, I mean, and I saved a lot of money that way. When you're first starting out, it's probably worth to use a supply guy from Henry Schein or Patterson or whoever, simply because, like I said, starting out, you want to outsource as many things as possible. You're going to be busy. But if you can get an assistant who you're already paying in her downtime to try to find some of the same materials that you're using online for a lot less money, sometimes like 1/10 the amount of using a supply company. Sometimes it's ridiculous. Some things like Crown Cement, it's probably going to be roughly the same no matter where you buy it from. But even then, you might find some good deals online. The biggest piece of advice I can give about how to think about money once you take over your office, try to figure out what your expenses are over the first 3 or 4 months. take that total number and get your monthly number, then divide that out by the number of days that you're working at that office, and then you will get a break-even number. That's the amount of money that you have to spend just to keep the office open. That includes everything. That includes the payroll. That includes your loan repayment. That includes the rent. That includes supplies. Obviously, there are going to be some variable costs like lab bills, but overall, I wouldn't worry too much about that just for this calculation. You're trying to get a break-even number. It's probably going to be like $3,000, maybe $2,000, maybe $4,000. And then you just need to see how much more money you can produce in a given day over that break-even number. And that's how much money you made that day. If your break-even number is $3,000 and you just produced $7,000 that day, well, you made $4,000 that day working at the office. But if your break-even number is $5,000 and you just produced $4,000 that day, well, you just lost $1,000. For me, that's just one of the best and easiest ways to think about making money and how to keep track of how much money you're actually making on a day-to-day basis at the office. Once you start actually doing this, you're going to start getting really motivated to do same-day treatment and you're going to get better at treatment planning. You're going to get better at trying to convince patients to actually do the treatment that you are recommending they do. If you're looking at that break-even number, you know you've produced $5,000 that day and there's a patient in your chair. You just diagnosed that they need 3 crowns. If you say, hey, Mrs. Jones, would you like to just get those crowns done today? You know you have the time for it. Let's just get it done. Well, now instead of making $1,000 that day, you're now making $4,000 or $5,000 that day because you've already met your break-even number. Any additional production that you do is pure profit. This is why same-day treatment is so incredibly valuable if you can do it. Always try to do same-day treatment. Like, I don't care how busy you are, you can probably find time to fit an extra crown or two in on your schedule, especially if you have enough assistance in order to help you with the impressions and setting up the rooms, et cetera. And if you don't have enough assistance, well, then you need to hire another assistant because the amount you're going to be paying an assistant is so low in comparison to the amount of additional money you can make by adding in same-day treatment. So ultimately, what I want you to walk away from today is I want you to understand, yeah, it's stressful. The first few months of ownership are very, very stressful. There's going to be so much to do. You're going to feel like you're drowning. That's normal. It happens to everyone. And like 95%+ of dentists make it through this and they're just fine. You come out the other side, you're making significantly more. You have much more respect from the staff and the patients. You just enjoy your career more. You don't have to do what someone else is telling you to do. You get to go into the office when you want to go into the office. You get to be in control. You get to set things up the way you want to set them up. You get all the benefits of ownership. And if you set up the right systems where you have an office manager that's taking care of most of the front office tasks, someone in the back, maybe an assistant who's taking care of a lot of the back office duties. You've outsourced things like you hire a janitorial company to come in and clean, or you assign it to one of your staff so you don't have to worry about that. Maybe you outsource insurance. Maybe you find the right person. Obviously, you're hiring an accountant. Just have your accountant do your bookkeeping so you don't have to worry about that. There are just so many things you can outsource. As a dentist, your time is so incredibly valuable. When you were an associate, your time was maybe worth, what, a couple hundred dollars an hour, maybe, probably $100 an hour, maybe $200 an hour. As an owner, your time is worth like $500 to $1,000 per hour now. Do you realize how incredibly valuable your time is? We just talked about how you could do same-day treatment on a patient and potentially make $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in 1 hour. Now, unless you're like incredibly fast and have a lot of patients, you're not going to make $5,000 every hour you're working, but you can realistically make $1,000 an hour when you're working. If you are an owner and you have your business set up properly, think about all the things that you could outsource for way less than $1,000 an hour. I mean, you're paying someone to do your bookkeeping, probably $10, $15 an hour. Why would you waste your time doing something that you could pay someone $15 an hour to do when your time is worth $1,000 per hour? Why would you be afraid to hire a janitor to come in and clean your office when they're doing it for $20 an hour? Why would you be afraid to outsource your insurance when you can pay someone $20 an hour? Your time's worth $1,000 an hour. Just keep that in mind. It might not feel like it when you first take over the office, but you have just transitioned into one of the greatest wealth creation machines that exists in the country. Owning a dental practice is one of the most profitable businesses that you can literally that you can find in the United States, in the whole entire world. There are very few other people whose time is worth $1,000 per hour. It's just ridiculous how amazing this opportunity you have is. Just keep that in mind. You're going to be stressed out. There's going to be some work getting this set up. But just remember, you are incredibly privileged and you have an amazing opportunity in front of you. Just stick with it and you're going to be so glad that you did.